Today's scripture is from Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhibited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of the drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Maggie. So what does it mean to live life as a Christian? Now, I will say that there are many different ways to answer this question, and each answer has a certain perspective. Right now, we are exploring what it means to live life as a Christian when we embrace our own belovedness and the belovedness of every other person and all of creation. For the last 2 weeks, we have explored the work of The Life of the Beloved by Henry Nouwen, who was a Catholic priest and a spiritual writer of the late 20th century. And we have embraced Nouwen's starting place. We are beloved by God, and our whole life flows from there. Last week, Pastor Melissa beautifully helped us remember that we are precious. She reminded us that Nouwen outlined 3 steps to help us live as the precious children of God. She helped us know that step 1 was to recognize the negative messages are not telling the truth, and that the truth is that you are precious in God's sight. Step 2 was to share your fears and your concerns with someone who sees how precious you are. And step 3 was to celebrate by saying thank you. And if we follow these steps again and again and again, we are able to remember that we are precious children of God, beloved. So will you join me as we continue to explore what it means to live a beloved life? Will you pray with me? Creator God, may your spirit that breathed life into us be with us now as we consider what it means to be beloved, to be loved by you unconditionally for who you created us to be. As we open ourselves to your love, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Now, this might hurt a few people's hearts, but I have a confession to make. My husband, John, and I are very indifferent gardeners. We do take care of the landscaping at our house, but we don't do that much more. Well, when we moved into our house, one of the plants that we inherited was a hydrangea located by our side porch. And I'll tell you how many fights we've had over, like, what actually this plant is. So Google solved the question. For our first few years, it bloomed without us doing anything, but fewer and fewer blooms. And then 2 years ago, there weren't any blooms, but there were still some green leaves at the base of it. And then last year, nothing. It looked like this giant bunch of twigs, and we thought it was dead. But I was too lazy to do anything about it. So I simply pulled up a bunch of dried sticks, kicked some stuff around, and then said, hey, if it is dead, we'll take care of it next year. And then, much to our surprise, this year we began to see some green leaves. And it's like, maybe it's not dead. And then we saw some tight green buds. And then slowly, for unknown reasons, there have been blooms and flowers and leaves. And this is what it looks like. And I will say, this joy, this spring, it has been a joy and delight to watch what seemed dead to come back alive. And every day, it reminded me of what a life trusting in God can look like. So let's explore this with a little help from Jeremiah. Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Jeremiah, which is considered one of the major prophets found in the Old Testament or Hebrew Bible. Now, it's very important to point out that Jeremiah is considered a major prophet not because he was more important than anything. Prophets are people who've listened to God and spoke the word of God. They're all pretty important. But Jeremiah is called a major prophet because his book is really long. There's no other reason. It is actually the longest book in the Bible in terms of the number of words used and verses. It is a thick thing. But that makes sense because Jeremiah was written over a course of about 50 years. And it was not only, it had a bunch of different types of sermons and poetry and had Jeremiah's scribe told stories of his life. And then it continued to be edited. So it's a book that's very intentional in being put together. And this process makes this book fascinating because it tells of a very pivotal and hard time for the people of God. So I am not going to be able to cover the complexity that is this book. In fact, I would encourage you, if you want a quick summary of it, the Bible Project has a really good video of it. It's about 7 or 8 minutes, so just YouTube that. It's free. Jeremiah Explainer, it's a very quick thing, and it's good. But to give you some basis for what Jeremiah is talking about, Jeremiah was a prophet of the kingdom of Judah at the time we call the divided kingdom. So there's northern Israel and southern Israel, and it's the divided kingdom. So, and Jeremiah was living during a time when the Babylonians were coming to power. The kingdom of Judah, where Jeremiah lived, was the southern part of Israel, and it included the city of Jerusalem, where there's Solomon's temple, where the temple of God was. Now, Israel was not a world player at this time. In fact, it had a lot of problems. And Jeremiah was not afraid to point those out to people. In fact, he predicted that because of the way that the people were acting, basically worshiping other gods besides God, and not following God's laws, and not caring for the most vulnerable in their communities, that God was going to use the powerful Babylonian Empire to destroy Judah. And guess what? They did. Over a period of years, the Babylonians took control of the region. They beat the Assyrians, they beat the Egyptians, they conquered Israel, and they put their own puppet king in place. And then when that king rebelled, in 587 BCE, which is kind of a key date to remember, they destroyed the city of Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, God's house, blinded the king, and took much of the population into exile in Babylon. Now, Jeremiah, this prophet who warned of this, he stayed through all of this, through the bitter end, until he was kidnapped by his own people and taken into Egypt, where he died. That's such an odd part of the story. Now, because this is not a particularly happy time, and Jeremiah talks about a lot of really hard, destructive things, he's often called the weeping prophet, because many of his words were judgment and warning and destruction. But you will find that throughout all of his writing, there is a promise of hope. And it comes like this. Our passage today is a good example of Jeremiah, of what he says. He says this, "Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals, who make mere flesh their strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of the drought, it shall not be anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. That is the promise of hope when trusting in God. And I have been captivated by this image that he offers of this shrub versus the tree. And I haven't been able to stop thinking about the hydrangea bush in my backyard. Because it has gone through so many various stages in life, heat and snow and drought and too much rain, lack of attention from me, and yet somehow it turned green and continues to bloom, even after it was seemingly dead. And I love all of these contrasting images and how they fit in our scripture lesson today. Where we have this image of a shrub in the desert, desperately seeking nourishment, but doesn't notice it when it comes. And then this tree that's planted by the water, whose roots are able to drink and nourish itself from what it needs. Beautiful images. But I don't know about you. I have felt like I have been both of those images in my life. That shrub that is dried and withered and appears like it might never bloom again. And the tree that is growing and green and bearing fruit. And yet here is the place of hope, which I love about Jeremiah's image, especially of the tree. The hard stuff still happens. The heat still comes. The year of the drought still comes. Those hard and challenging times still come. And trust in the Lord does not mean that the hard and the difficult and yes, even the tragedies don't happen in life. But the promise of the tree by the stream with its roots in the water is that it is able to move through those hard times. And somehow its leaves still turn green and it still bears fruit. That tree image is what trust in the Lord looks like. This tree image is what it means to embrace that we are blessed as God's beloved, as Henry Nouwen describes. But what does that mean, being blessed? John gave a great lead-in, because I want to point out, we often hear blessed and we see like hashtag blessed, right? In like Instagram and Facebook and oh my gosh, here is a beautiful picture of the seemingly perfect moment of an absolutely perfect life. That's not what Henry Nouwen's talking about. Henry Nouwen is coming from, remember, a Catholic Church perspective. And there he is drawing from the word Latin, which is has a verb called benedictere, which means to bless. And in the church, this is where we get the word benediction, which is kind of that prayer that we say at the end of a worship service, or that statement, the good words we leave you as you leave. And it literally means speaking well or saying good things about people. We would often today might use the term an affirmation or a blessing. And so when Henry Nouwen says that we are blessed, he is saying that we all, each and every one of us, receive blessings from God, receive good words from God that call forth our belovedness. And then when we give a blessing to someone, we are touching their original goodness and calling forth their belovedness. Because we are all God's beloved. And here's the thing, God is doing this constantly, constantly speaking good words over each and every one of us. So how do we claim this blessing, these good words? How do we live as the beloved children of God who trust in the God who created us? Henry Nouwen offers two ways to get in touch with this blessedness, this blessing we all feel. The first is to pray. Now, there are many different types of prayer and different ways to pray, but the specific type of prayer that Nouwen is describing in his book is that still, silent prayer, where it's not so much about what you say, but it's about attuning yourself to God's voice. Nouwen writes this: the real work of prayer is to become silent and listen to the voice that says good things about me. And we know that this is hard, because it is so much easier to listen to all the voices, both internally and externally, that tell us that we are not good or worthy or enough or loved or whatever we think is wrong with us. But when we are silent and listen for God, we can hear the blessings that God is speaking over us. Now, in addition to prayer, Nouwen also suggests that another way to claim your blessedness is to practice presence. He describes it this way: by presence, I mean attentiveness to the blessings that come to you day after day, year after year. Now, even Nouwen acknowledges the challenge of this attentiveness. He says, the problem of modern living is that we are too busy to notice that we are being blessed. And how often is that the case? But when we pay attention, we are able to see all the ways that we are receiving those blessings every day, even if it might just be a hydrangea bush by your porch. So when we practice this prayer and presence, we are able to trust God as Jeremiah calls us to, and we begin to see that we are blessed. And here is the most beautiful aspect of it, as Nouwen says: the blessed one always blesses. And as the blessed ones, we get to walk through this world and offer blessings. It doesn't require much effort. It flows naturally from our hearts. So just like that tree that is planted by the water, when we live as beloved, we come to know the blessings, the good words that God is speaking over each of us. And we are nourished, and we grow, and we bear fruit. And then we get to naturally share that fruit with the world. Friday night, as I mentioned, was the Discover Zone pre-K graduation, which is such a joy and a delight. And every year, it reminds me of one of the most special things that I am privileged to do in my call here at Florence Christian Church, and that is to bless the children. And you all get to do that every week as well. But each week with the Discover Zone blessing, it's at the end of chapel, and the pastor leading it gets to bless each of the kiddos. They form a line, and each one gets to choose their mode of blessing. From a high five, a fist bump, sometimes that explodes, to prayer hands, a hug, and sometimes it's just a smile. And we name each child and bless them by telling them that God loves them and we do too. And I will say that I have noticed two things over the time that I have been doing these blessings. First, after I offer a blessing, I almost always receive a huge smile in return. Even if that child has had a difficult day and is heads up running around and whatever, when I bless them, that child's face lights up in delight, because they are reminded of their belovedness. And secondly, the children wait patiently for each other to receive a blessing, because they know they will get one too. And that's how it is for each of us. We are each beloved. We are each a precious child of God, and we are blessed. And for that, I can say thanks be to God, and amen.